And now 1-0 on Encarnacion, who slams one deep to center field. Back at the wall, it's gone. Three-run jack for Edwin Encarnacion. And the Blue Jays turn a 2-0 lead into a 5-0 lead.
And they would turn that 5-0 lead into a 7-0 lead on the way to an 8-1 win over the New York Yankees. And the first six runs the Blue Jays scored tonight all came off of two-out hits. That three-run homer by Encarnacion and that rally started with two out and nobody on. J.P. Arcibia's two-run homer in the second came with two out. Kelly Johnson's RBI single in the fourth came with two out, made it 6-0 Blue Jays before Bautista led off the fifth by going deep, and Johnson led off the seventh by going deep, his 100th career home run. Blue Jays take down the Yankees 8-1. It's always such a pleasure to see the New York Yankees lose. It really is. And with the win, the Blue Jays move back within a half game of the Yankees for third place in the American League East. And right now, that is that second wild card spot in the American League. Also right now, Tampa Bay is beating the Red Sox 2-1, going to the bottom of the eighth at the Trop. Kansas City is leading the Orioles 2-1 in the top of the eighth in KC. So if those two things hold, the Blue Jays will remain four games back of the first place Rays. Baltimore will slip a game back, and the Yankees will be 3.5 back. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. We're taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. I want to know, do you think last night had anything to do with tonight? We start with Jeff in Mississauga listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What do you think, Jeff?
I think definitely last night's game kind of parlayed into tonight. They seem to have a lot more energy. They seem to be a little like waiting for their pitch, you know. It was great to see them beat the Yankees. I love when they give it to the Yankees. It was great.
Yeah, me too, for sure. It's those are the most satisfying wins of the season, I think.
Oh, definitely. my comment was about Colby Rasmus. He seems to be swinging off the ball a little. He's not getting down on the pitch. Like he's letting the ones go right down the pipe, and then when he is swinging at the low pitches, it doesn't seem like he's getting down to try to get any lift on it. And he's almost like an automatic out lately. I'm wondering what your opinion is on that, and maybe a day off might do him some good, just to, you know, collect his thoughts and.
He had a day off a few days ago. I think he didn't play in one of the games in Minnesota. And I'm looking back and I'm wrong. He didn't have a day off. I seem to remember Rajay playing center field a few days. But anyway, I'm wrong. There's no question that Colby Rasmus is going through it awfully hard right now. He was 0-for-4 today, and that makes him 0-for his last 10 since he's gotten on base, and in the overall, 0-for his last 15. So, yeah, he's having a hard time, but he continues to play excellent defense in center field, and you know, I'm much more comfortable with him there than with Rajay Davis, who's the next best option.
Definitely.
Which, you know, kind of makes it hard to give him a day off.
True. You don't have anyone else to throw out there that's going to match him. I've been watching. I know I watched last year, too. I have the extra innings package. I even watched him with St. Louis, and it seems like most of last year and now this year, he's not the player he was. He's just not.
He's certainly not hitting like he did. There's no question about that. I don't know that there's an easy, ready explanation for it. I don't know that it's not just a rough few weeks. I mean, he was hitting in all kinds of bad luck early in the season. And now,
it does seem whenever he hits the ball hard, it's going right to someone.
But we're not seeing as many of those hard hit balls for outs anymore.
No, grounding out to the second baseman, like that's at least 5 or 6 times in the last like 3 games, just like automatic out.
Let's see if you're right.
But,
about
it was
that.
Great to see them win tonight. That was awesome. Drabek, perfect game. Just like you can't ask for any more. And it was good to see Bautista rope that.
It was too, and that got out in a hurry. Thank you, Jeff, for the call. Four times in the last three games has Rasmus grounded out to second base. Yeah, you can't look good. It's tough to look good when you're 0-15. No question about that. I certainly believe that at some point he's going to come around. Gord is in Brantford listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Gord, do you think what happened last night had anything to do with the way the Jays came out tonight?
I would be disappointed if it did, Mike. I would be disappointed if that's what it takes for a team of professionals to say, well, now we're going to play the best we can. So, no, I don't.
All right, good. Me neither.
But I hear you rocking in a Yankees loss. I also wanted to comment, Mike, and it probably isn't the case, but I can't help but hope that the shortness of Brett Laurie's suspension relative to what most people expected it would be, I can't help but hope that that might be a message to the Bill Millers of the umpire world.
Oh, I don't think so, because I don't think anybody who actually knew what they were talking about was expecting it to be any longer than five games. You know, you hear from, and it's not meant as an insult to anyone, but people that have paid attention to the game and the way suspensions have been handed out over time, there was no reason to believe that Brett Laurie would get more than five games.
Yeah, but it could be down here. I mean, if Jerry and Allen's comments are correct, it could be lowered to three after an appeal.
Yeah, I expect it to be lowered to three.
So, you know, I mean, that to me is significantly less than five. I know it's only two, but two out of five, you know, that's significantly less. And
Well, but people were saying 10, 12, yeah. 7, 15, 20, which was just nuts. And there was no basis for fact in there. 3 to 5, you know, is what I said. 3 to 5, he got four, and it'll probably get appealed down to three. But I don't know that it's a message to the Bill Millers of the world.
Well, probably not. Although
the message to Bill Miller would be for him to be fined or for him to be sanctioned somehow.
Well, some people speculate that he maybe won't see any playoff action. But
well, there are a lot of umpires who don't see any playoff
action. Yeah, but that's the way messages are sent to the older umpires like himself.
Except that, you know, he would be in a lot of company. And
yeah.
If he's the only guy who doesn't get a playoff game, then that's a clear message.
But don't know that there's any fines to umpires. So,
And I don't think that a message is going to be sent. I think that in the umpiring community, he's applauded for what he did last night, and that makes me sick.
Yeah, me too. I've been around, minor league ball enough to know when an umpire is taking way too much say in the game.
Yeah, and that shouldn't happen at the major league level, but unfortunately it does happen, and it happens all the time.
That's it from me, Mike. Thank you.
All right, Gord, appreciate the call. Thank you very much. And I'm with you. I hope what happened last night did not have to do with anything about tonight, because that's not what it should take. And I firmly believe that the Blue Jays come out every night and play as hard as they can. Sometimes bounces don't go their way. Sometimes they do. Jeff is in Oakville. Jeff, what do you think? You think last night had something to do with this?
No, I totally agree with you, Mike.
All right,
great
I like
call
that.
On what you just said. Yeah, it had nothing. Nothing at all.
So what was it?
The positives. Let's look at the positives.
All right.
How did 45-year Omar do at shortstop? Pretty darn good.
Flawless.
You know? Yeah. Got a walk. But, hey, put him in, you know? Laurie at third, no, I wouldn't apologize either. It was a mistake. He admitted it, right?
Well.
You agree?
No, I would have said sorry for throwing the helmet so close to you, and maybe he did.
Know, yeah.
I was
intense.
Keeping an eye on him, and I didn't see him go over to him and shake his hand or anything like that. But he may have gone over before the game.
We didn't see anything.
No, we didn't see anything. I didn't see anything.
Yeah. But still, I'll give him credit. It was awkward for him. It must have been.
Well, these guys, these guys get into disputes with umpires all the time.
Yeah,
and
exactly. And I'm a ball player, so do I, you know. Yeah.
And generally, you know, you see him.
He didn't mean to do it. He should have threw his helmet the other way, yes.
He shouldn't have thrown his helmet at all.
No,
Right.
Intense.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
Drabek had a great night.
Yes, Drabek did have a great night, and we should be talking about that.
Good to see him bounce back. Yeah.
Because the last two starts were just so
his last five starts have been...
Well, but not as... I mean, last game stuck out to me, and I appreciate the call, Jeff. I want to get to a lot more
people. Yeah, I know you have a lot of people.
So thank you for the call. The last start, the one in Minnesota where he, you know, threw 62 pitches in the first six innings and 84 in the first three and didn't, you know, looked so bad, and the Twins were helping him out so much that he only walked four and he left in the fifth in a 2-2 tie. I mean, that was an awful start. And people said after the game, and rightly so, if that was the Yankees, they'd have scored 70 runs on him. Or would have knocked him out in the first or second inning, more likely, because you tend not to want to let a guy give up 70 runs. So to come out against the Yankees today and look so good, 36 pitches through the first three innings, the only run he gave up scored on a bad hop single with two out, that's a huge, huge bounce back from Kyle Drabek. We'll hear from John Farrell in a minute. More of your phone calls as the Blue Jays take down the Yankees hard. 8-1. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance 1-888-666-0590 in front of nearly 30,000 here at Rogers Center. Mike is in Brampton listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Mike, what'd you think? Did last night have something to do with this?
You know what? I really don't think so. I'm calling about Colby Rasmus, to be honest with you, man. I'm listening to some people talking about what he's doing at the bat. My opinion, man, I really don't care what he's doing, because what he's doing on the defense makes a hell of a lot more of a difference to me. So, you know what? Take it or leave it. To me, it's defense. He's very valuable in center field, and that's my opinion, man.
Well, it's not a bad opinion. And you know what? The Blue Jays are first in the major leagues in defensive efficiency. And I know it's not a statistic that a lot of people are familiar with, but it's about turning batted balls into outs. And the Blue Jays turn more batted balls into outs on a percentage basis than any other team in the major leagues, and a lot of that is Colby Rasmus. And it's very, very difficult to measure what kind of effect defense has, how many runs you save relative to how many runs you're worth at the plate. And people are trying, and I give them a ton of credit. People are trying to come up with a metric that really shows that, and there is such a thing, a stat of defensive runs saved, and there's defensive plus minus and all that stuff, and it's working its way towards something that can really, really quantify defense. But it's a big question in the game still. Are you worth more if you contribute nothing on offense simply because of the job that you do on defense? And I think Rasmus has a lot more in him with the bat that we haven't seen yet, but there is no question that he's doing a heck of a job on defense.
Well, yeah, like I totally agree, you know what I mean? Like, I know that he has the potential, but like I said, I to me, the defense definitely outweighs his struggles at the bat.
Yeah, I'm with you. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. Maybe, hitting ninth would be a good idea while he's struggling at the bat, but then how many guys can you keep in the lineup who are struggling so much? With Adam Lind not going so well, though he did get a hit tonight in his final at-bat, you got to hit him eighth. Hit him eighth and Rasmus ninth until Colby comes out of it. I mean, I firmly believe that there's a lot more offense in both of them, Lind and Rasmus, than we've seen. And Colby went 0 for 4 today, and like I said, he's 0 for his last 15. He's getting close to that 200 mark. The on-base is about 275, and the slugging is under 350. Those are terrible numbers overall in the first 6 weeks of the season. But again, it is just the first 6 weeks of the season. And he could come out of it like a house of fire like he did a week into the season when he got really hot. Let's go to Clinton, Ontario. Wayne is listening on sportsnet590.ca. You're on the Blue Jays talk. Wayne, do you think that last night kind of worked its way into tonight?
I think it gave the Jays some motivation to prove to the umpiring crew that they're a good team, And
really?
I'm glad that it was the same umpiring crew that was doing tonight's game and tomorrow's.
Do you think
the Jays had something to prove to them, to show them that they're a good team?
What?
And,
I don't understand.
They came out and did that tonight.
Why would they want to? Why would they be motivated to show the umpiring crew that they're a good team? And what does that have to do with Brett Lorre getting run last night?
Well, Brett Lorre got run because he is extremely enthusiastic and takes the game very passionately. And the umpire didn't really give him much of a, what would I say, fair shake?
No, he certainly didn't.
When it came to those two pitches that were obviously balls.
Right.
And called both of them as strikes.
Yes.
And
But getting back to your original point, why would that make the Blue Jays think the umpires don't think we're a good team, therefore we must go out and prove that to them tonight?
Well, I just get the impression that sometimes the umpires are more tuned into what's going on with the other teams. They don't think the Jays are as good as they really are. And I say the proof in the pudding is going to come after the All-Star break this year. The Jays are in good shape, and they will be in even better shape after the All-Star break. They're getting better. They've still got some ways to go, but it looks like their bats are beginning to start coming around.
Yeah, it looks tonight, and I got to let you go. Thank you for the call, Wayne. It does look like the bats are beginning to start coming around. I mean, there's a lot of qualifiers in there. But three or four home runs tonight, 8 runs against the New York Yankees, that's a good sign. But it's been a long time since they've hit. So if this is the beginning of something, then it's something we've been waiting a long time for. Thank you for the call. We are going to listen to the manager. Let's hear what John Farrell had to say in the wake of tonight's 8-1 win over the New York Yankees.
7 strong innings by Kyle tonight. I thought just an overall very good offensive night up and down the lineup. JP with a very good night at the plate, obviously getting us on the board first with a 2-run homer. Eddie continues to do what he's done all year, and that's give us some of that middle-of-the-order punch. Kelly continues to swing the bat, as he's done for quite a while. But I just thought a very consistent offensive approach up and down. But Kyle tonight, higher percentage of strikes, particularly early in the count. And tonight, more so than the other night in Minnesota, when he needed a strike, he could go to that two-seamer to his arm side and stay in the count. So a solid effort on Kyle's part.
Given yesterday's events and then all the media attention today, sometimes that can pose a distraction. Can you just talk about how your team bounced back and wasn't distracted about everything that had happened?
Well, they have shown on repeated occasions that no matter what's taken place the day before, they've been able to separate themselves from that and put behind them the events of the day previous and came out very focused, a lot of energy, and a lot of good at-bats. So it wasn't a distraction, I think, in any means.
John, that's 4 homers in 6 games for Jose. Is it safe to say he's starting to really look like himself now?
More so, yes. And I don't want to understate what he's done, the series in Minnesota and then again here tonight. But, you know, when he addresses strikes and when he doesn't chase pitches out of the strike zone, he laid off a number of borderline pitches tonight to get into favorable counts. And when he got his pitch, he didn't miss it. So he just looks more in time, a better load, a better rhythm overall, and he's putting good swings on the ball right now.
John, was there anything in particular that Bruce and Kyle were working on in between starts this time?
Yeah, it's been the sight line to the start of the two-seamer. The other day, his previous start, he missed so many pitches below the strike zone, but in the same general area. It was more about just adjusting his sights upward. And if you saw an occasion when he got in a 1-0 or 2-0 count, JP would actually raise his glove up on his two-seamer, which is kind of counterintuitive to what you might think. But it enables him to give him that vision to make the necessary adjustment, and he did an excellent job tonight.
John, in the media notes, I didn't realize how prolific a hitter Kelly Johnson has become. I mean, if you just look at the batting average, you wouldn't know how important he's become to your offense in terms of driving in runs, getting on base, hitting home runs, the whole nine yards. How much does he mean to your team?
Well, he's been doing it since the first day of the season, and he's done an outstanding job. You can pick some things apart on any given player, but I think if you were to ask Kelly, he'd like to reduce some of the strikeouts, but you look at the walk totals, the total overall production, he's been outstanding, whether it's been in the one or two hole for us. So he's come up in some key spots with some RBIs, base hits the other way. He's done an excellent job against left-handed pitching, and he's been a huge contributor to what we've done all year.
There's manager John Farrell. Big credit for Kelly Johnson, who was 2-for-4 today, and Kelly has been a terrific hitter for the Blue Jays all year. Absolutely. That's a perfect way to put it. And he was again today. 2-for-4 with a home run, couple of RBIs, his 100th career home run, eighth of the season, which is third on the team behind Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Bautista. We'll take more of your phone calls on the other side as we extend the Blue Jays talk on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We will check the scoreboard when we continue. It is the Blue Jays Radio Network. Welcome back to Rogers Center. The Blue Jays take down the New York Yankees, and they do it hard, 8-1. Four home runs to support Kyle Drabek, who threw seven innings of three-hitter, allowing just one run. Taking a look at the scoreboard, scary stuff in Tampa Bay. The Rays lead the Red Sox 2-1 in the bottom of the eighth. Will Rimes, hit by a pitch in the arm, collapsed on the field. And I don't know if he passed out because of the pain or what, but he is up in a cart now and being taken off. So that's quite good news. The Baltimore Orioles trailing the Kansas City Royals 3-1 in the top of the ninth. That's good news, too. In that Tampa game, again, the Rays lead the Red Sox 2-1. They are in the bottom of the eighth in the trop. The Blue Jays and Yankees wrap up this series tomorrow night. Jays go for the sweep. It'll be Drew Hutchison 2-1 against Phil Hughes 3-4. We'll be on at 7 o'clock Eastern. Make sure you join us then. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. Stick around for more Blue Jays talk. For Jerry Howarth, Alan Ashby, Tom Young, Dan Riccio, and Gord Brunt, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night.
Jose lines one deep to left field. Yes, sir, that one is gone. Number 9, Bautista hits third, a handshake from Brian Butterfield. It is 7-0 Blue Jays over the Bronx Bombers.
7-0 on that Jose Bautista laser beam that was measured at almost 118 miles an hour leaving the field. 7-0 Jays, they go on to beat the New York Yankees 8-1. And it's not Gord Brunt. It's Joe Sicilia, who is our producer. So I apologize for that, but I did call Gord Joe last week. It's tough to keep track of these guys because they're both just so good at their jobs. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The question I'm asking is, did you think that what happened last night had to do with what happened tonight? The Brett Laurie shenanigans? Could they have galvanized the Blue Jays? Could that have been a taking off point for them? I don't think so, but I want to know what you think. Let's go to Phoenix City, Alabama. Steve doesn't want to talk about Brett Laurie. If you're in Phoenix City, Alabama, you want to talk about Colby Rasmus.
Hey, Mike. How y'all doing, buddy?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. All right, I got two things to say tonight. One, I want to talk about Colby just a little bit. The other one, I'm going to make some folks mad. So let's talk about Colby first.
Okay. Shoot.
his head.
Not literally. I know it's Alabama. I know they love to hunt down there.
Oh, yeah. But let me tell you, Colby, his head is, his mind's getting away from what he wants to do, okay? Somebody needs to take that boy out, get him a cold beer, sit him down, tell him to quit worrying about stuff so much, and just get up there and have fun and play baseball. Okay.
You know, that's the kind of stuff he was talking about last month and into spring training as well.
Yeah, he's struggling, but he'll come around. I mean, I just got faith that he's going to come around. And now, here we go with the second part of this.
Okay, make people mad.
I have never seen a group of fans that get down on a team so hard when they lose a few games as those Toronto Blue Jays fans.
Now, see, that's okay. Interesting because I wonder if it's not like that everywhere.
Well, it is, Mike, but, man, those fans are vicious, especially. Now, you keep them under control up there. every night, I love to hear your show because you'll tell them right off, look, I don't want to hear any negative things. Okay, but, I mean, the team is still playing over 500 baseball. And if I don't know about Canada, but I know down here in Alabama, it's still the middle of May.
Yes, still is up here too, yes.
Okay, we got a lot of baseball left to play.
Yeah, and only 124 games left in the season.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on. But some of these guys act like, oh, man, that's it. I'm through with them. They're not. It's awful. Come on. It's baseball. It's part of it. They're going to have good games like they did tonight. Awesome game. Then they're going to have not-so-good games like they had last night. Well, you know, it happens. But, hey, it's baseball, and it's fun. And if people look at it like it's a game and it's supposed to be fun, everything should work out all right.
Sounds good to me, Steve. Appreciate the call, as always. Love to hear from you down there in Phoenix City, Alabama.
Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it. And I'm going to keep listening as long as my Sirius XM lets me listen to you.
All right. That's what I like to hear. And when that stops, you hop on sportsnet590.ca, and you can listen even if the Sirius XM lets you go. Steve makes some good points, and it's true. You know, there hasn't been a point in time yet this year where the Blue Jays have been under 500. And they are a half game out of a playoff spot right now. And for the most part this season, it's all been doom and gloom, and I can't believe this, and how terrible is this, and this is the worst team ever. But they beat the Yankees tonight, and that's awesome. Love when you beat the Yankees. Thomas in Toronto, you're on the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Thomas, did you think last night's nonsense galvanized the Blue Jays for this win?
Well, first off, Mike, I got to say, geez, it's going to be hard to follow up Phoenix City, Alabama.
I love Steve in Phoenix City, Alabama. I make no secret of that.
But, I mean, I definitely think that probably it was in the Jays' minds, and they probably wanted to come out and have a strong outing to support Laurie and all that. I don't think necessarily that, you know, is the reason why they beat the Yankees so well tonight. But I wanted to get your thoughts on a different point. I was listening to the Jeff Blair show this morning when you guys were going at it.
That was fun, wasn't it?
Oh, man. I was on my way. My boss was having me deliver a whole package of 2x4s. Like, I work in construction from one job site to the other.
I'm glad you clarified that, because why the hell else would you be carrying 2x4s around?
So I wasn't in the best of moods, but you guys cheered me right up, I got to tell you.
But I'm glad. That was
one thing that I was hoping one of you guys would bring up, and neither of you did, was you guys were going back and forth on who's to blame, really, Lurie, the umpire, and all that. But I think what gets lost in here is that one of the reasons why we play team sports and one of the reasons why we get our kids into organized sports is because it builds character. And a lot of times you learn life skills and life lessons from being part of a team, recognizing that your actions affect the man next to you just as much as they do yourself. And sometimes the authority figures in these sports and in these games are not going to be fair. And sometimes they're going to give you crap. And sometimes you have to learn how to swallow it. And whether or not it was actually the umpire's fault, whether or not he was doing it intentionally, I believe he was. But whether he was or not doesn't take away from the fact that Lori, he's still a young kid. I mean, when I was that age, I had a hot head too. But you got to learn how to swallow a bad call. You got to these are skills. This is one of the reasons why we play the game, not just for fun, but we become better people too.
I agree with you completely, and I thought that without saying that stuff specifically, we did make the point that, you know, Lori's got to not do that. What it comes down to is he has to not throw his equipment. That there's no excuse for ever doing that. And you're right. You know what? Playing sports is supposed to build character and teach you those life skills about being part of something that's bigger than you and doing things for the greater good. And, you know, it puts hair on your chest and all that stuff. And that was a lesson learned by Brett Lori right there. And it's not as though he was unrepentant. It's not as though he doesn't realize that he shouldn't have done what he did and that he puts his whole team in jeopardy because he's going to have to sit out a few games. And, you know, maybe it's the lesson that has to be learned here.
I guess what I'd like to see is, you know, now there's been this incident here where it's caused some raised eyebrows, and now whether for good or for bad, there's a greater spotlight on him, and people that maybe before didn't realize how passionate he was now see that it can boil over sometimes. And I think his next actions in a situation like that, because it will certainly happen again, it's going to be very telling, and I'm looking forward to seeing how he reacts in the future.
What's interesting there is, you know, you think back to two things. I'm going to let you go because we're up against the update. The two things, the jumping after the walk-off home runs and this. The jumping after the walk-off home runs, none of us want to see that because we think he's going to break an ankle or hurt himself or something, or Kendrys Morales himself. And John Farrell has told him, look, you can't do that anymore. Brett Lori, if you ask him, says, you know, I played basketball my whole life. I know how to jump. I can take care of myself. I'm not going to hurt myself. I'm a passionate guy. That's A. This is B. And this, Brett Lori's answer, is not that. I'm going to do this again. It's, I know I can't do that. I know I shouldn't have done that. I'm passionate, and that's never going to change, and my passion is going to boil over sometimes, but I shouldn't have done that. And to me, that's a really good sign. And I don't think we're going to see that from him again. Obviously, the proof will be in the pudding, as it were. But I don't think we're going to see that from him again. Update coming from Andrew Nye, and then more of your phone calls as the Blue Jays take down the Yankees. The Blue Jays talk continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Do we want to get right?
0-1 pitch hit in the air and deep to right field. Going back, Swisher. He's looking up. This one is gone. Fourth home run of the night for the Blue Jays. Kelly Johnson gets in the act.
And Alan, there is number 100 in his career. Pretty sweet.
Sweet indeed. The century mark for Kelly Johnson. And every Blue Jay fan should be in love with this guy right now. As they should have been when the Jays acquired him. I know it took you a while to start to like Kelly Johnson, but I'm glad you do now. This is the Blue Jays Talk. I'm Mike Wilner. The phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Red Sox just lost 2-1 to the Tampa Bay Rays, while the Orioles have tied it up with Kansas City 3-3. So that's kind of interesting. But in that Red Sox game, what may have happened, Tampa Bay second baseman Will Rimes, is it's quite possible that when he was hit by a pitch on the arm, that his arm broke. And it's not, from what I'm led to understand, terribly unusual for people to pass out when they break a bone. I've never done it myself, which is awesome, and I hope that continues. But maybe some people have had that similar experience. But very scary stuff in Tampa Bay as Rimes gets hit on the arm by a pitch, and apparently, seeing on Twitter, the sound was as loud as a bat breaking. He was stunned and then started to walk to first, and he collapsed, had to be taken off the field. He appeared to have passed out for a while. Hopefully, I mean, that's not a good thing that he's got a broken arm, but hopefully that's all it is a broken arm, and that Will Ryan's going to be okay. And he's going to be the 10th guy to wind up on the disabled list for the Tampa Bay Rays this year. We are Blue Jays talking it up. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590, and tons of baseball for your listening pleasure later on tonight on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Jeff Sammet's got Sportsnet Overnight. He's going to talk to Dwayne Ward, to Hay Dirkhurst, Jose Cruz Jr., Willie Mays Akins. All those guys are going to be on with Sammet. And then in the morning, make sure you tune in to Brady and Lang at 8:20 tomorrow morning. Alex Anthopoulos will be on with Brady and Lang to talk about Brett Laurie and talk about the Blue Jays and all kinds of cool stuff. Rusty is in Barrie. Rusty, you're up next on the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Do you think what happened last night had anything to do with the Blue Jays win tonight?
No, I don't. Season's too long, and I just don't think that had anything to do with tonight.
I think they finally are
living up to their potential, hopefully.
So many of the people are agreeing with me on this. I really did not expect this. I thought way more people would be on the side of, yeah, that brought the team together, and that's why they came out and won this game. So I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, anyway, we wanted to talk quickly about two things. I agree with our friend from Alabama. The manic depressive Toronto sports fan, starting with the Leafs, and it's now leaking into the Blue Jays. You win a couple games, you're going to win the World Series. You lose a couple games, and you're the worst team they've ever seen.
Do you think it's unique to Toronto, though?
Pardon me?
Do you think that's unique to Toronto?
I think it's getting worse and worse.
Yeah, it's definitely getting worse. No question about that.
Yeah, I mean, they got to remember the best teams lose a third of their games, and the worst teams only win a third of their games.
The best teams,
what you do in the other third that makes the difference.
The best teams ever lose a third of their games.
Absolutely.
Generally, the best teams over the course of a season are going to lose about 65 games. That's a lot of games to lose.
It is, and you're going to lose some of those by giving it away. No matter, even the best teams do that.
And usually, bad teams will have a losing record at some point during a season. The Blue Jays have not had that yet.
Correct. And they're winning without their big bats.
Yeah, it's true. And that, to me, those are all good signs.
That, to me, is encouraging, yep. Absolutely.
Me too. You had something else you wanted to touch
on? Yeah,
I
just wanted to think about your thoughts on when it's time to give David Cooper a chance. He's hitting .300 in Las Vegas. He had the batting title last year. He's got 17 extra base hits with 28 RBIs.
Yeah.
Right now.
It's the Pacific Coast League, though, right?
Well, that's true, but he doesn't have the power, and he never will.
Right, he's got 4 home runs.
That's correct.
His OPS is down 120 points from what it was last year. I think that the general consensus is that David Cooper's ceiling is Lyle Overbay. And maybe not even Lyle Overbay at his best, because Lyle Overbay at his best was 20-plus home runs.
But do you agree that Adam Lind is Lyle Overbay right now?
No. No. He's not that good right now. I think right now, no. But I think the ceiling is higher. We've seen it before. And I think you want to give him every opportunity before you slam the door shut, especially with the Blue Jays doing okay with no contribution from him offensively.
Okay, I'll accept that.
I just think that it's obvious that the Blue Jays would rather have even this Adam Lind than cut bait on him and bring up David Cooper. And I just think the general consensus for Cooper is that he's not the kind of first baseman that they want to have to succeed in this division. Even though Lynn's not getting the job done, clearly Lynn's not getting the job done right now. His ceiling is far higher.
Okay, thank you.
All right, appreciate the call. Glad that you're thinking, but I don't think they think David Cooper's the answer. Adam is in Dundas. Adam, you're on the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Did last night have something to do with tonight?
I didn't think so, but the more and more I think about it, I think it might. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
When a head coach in basketball goes out and gets a T, or if a manager in baseball gets thrown out, Is his objective ever to fire up the team?
Sure.
Okay. Not that I think Brett Laurie's objective last night was to do that, but is it not possible that some of that energy carried over to tonight and they were fired up in the clubhouse before the game?
I mean, I guess it's possible, but I think they're always fired up in the clubhouse before the game. These guys are always raring to go.
Right.
And I think you're right. I think you're right in that a lot of times a manager or coach's objective in getting into a big argument and getting thrown out or teed up or whatever is to fire up the team. The question is, does that actually happen? And even if it does it make a difference in a game like baseball? Basketball is different because you can actually take the ball away from the other team. In
totally.
Baseball, you can't.
For sure. That's why they bring in Michael Jordan to talk to the Tar Heels in the NCAA tournament, maybe.
Right.
For a little extra motivation.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is they should be fired up before every game, no matter what.
Well, I think they are.
So what do they need that extra motivation for?
I don't think it serves any... I don't think it serves any purpose, but baseball tradition and legend and the history of sport myth-making tends to believe that stuff, and a lot of the people within the game certainly do believe that stuff.
Right. I don't think in baseball it matters. In basketball, it's different because the energy can create turnovers and whatnot.
Yep, absolutely.
Right. Let me ask you one more quick question.
Sure.
About Colby. I think it was a couple years ago Alan Ashby did a study on John McDonald.
No, it was me. I did that study.
No, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I created a stat. I can't remember what I called it either.
Well, I heard about it on your show.
Yep.
I don't know why I thought Alan Ashby.
Because Alan Ashby is a brilliant man, probably.
That too. But you looked at how much of his defensive presence turns into or can translate into runs saved for the Blue Jays.
Right, which it was a very rudimentary thing, but yes.
Right. Difficult to study, but, you know, does Colby fit into that category given his, you know, defensive excellence this year, and can we put up with the lack of the bat lately because of that?
I don't know. It's an excellent question. Rasmus, is he making plays that no other center fielder can make? On a few occasions he has.
Yeah.
And on every occasion that he makes a play that your typical center fielder wouldn't make, he's preventing extra bases every time, right? That's
right.
There's no question of that.
Right.
So that makes his defensive presence worth a little more than an infielder who tends not to, a middle infielder tends not to prevent extra bases with his scintillating plays.
Right.
Is it enough to overcome the lack of offense? Well, the team's winning even though he's not hitting. But the team's winning even though a lot of people aren't hitting. But part of the reason that they're winning is because they're leading the major leagues in defensive efficiency. So maybe the answer is yes.
Yeah.
But you just can't have too many of them. You can't have too many people who are contributing only with the glove and not with the bat, because then you only wind up a game or two above 500, which is where the Blue Jays are, which is, you know, a point from which they're going to have to improve if they want to be a playoff team.
And I guess that's why John McDonald got playing time, because it was worth it for him, and he was one of the few who could save the run.
I think so. And I think they also felt like they didn't have a better option, and they weren't a playoff team either.
Right.
Yeah. But it's interesting.
Well, maybe he'll do the study this year.
Yeah, it's tough to start it midway through the season. But,
sure.
But yeah, that would be interesting to do, to go back and track. And I'll take a look. I'll take a look at how many stars I have beside some of Rasmus's catches this season, and see how many of them there have been made. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate the call.
Thanks,
man. I need to find that John McDonald study that I did 3 or 4 years ago, because that was pretty cool. CJ is in Kingston. You're on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Do you think last night's nonsense had to do with tonight's win?
I'm going to have to side with your last caller a little bit and say I originally thought so, but you know what? I didn't think so, but now I'm just going to go have... As a veteran on that team, how could you not carry that kid on the field and show him that you move on, and this is, you know, we've got plenty more games, and there's just, you know, there's more to accomplish than just, you know, lulling over last night's debacle, I suppose you could call it.
It's interesting, and I'll I want to talk to you about that, but I want you to turn your radio down first because it's very confusing for both of us. Here's the thing. If that were possible, why wouldn't they want to do that all the time? You know, why would they have to wait for something to get them going if it was possible for them to get going like that?
Well, I mean, as not only as a rookie, but as a veteran, I mean, sure, the rookie might have to slip and slide and make a mistake before the veterans recognize an opportunity to be like, hey, you know, maybe we need to pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off and show this kid that, you know, this is a long season. You know, this isn't a sprint. This is a kind of a marathon, so to speak. So
right. I follow you, but the question I'm asking is, let's say the veterans, and let's say it's Bautista and Encarnacion and Kelly Johnson who represent the veterans here.
And I mean, they represent themselves quite well.
Yes, they did. In this scenario.
Yeah.
If it were possible,
I'm driving home from the gate right now. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it was tremendous. But if it were possible for them to decide one night, you know what, we need to show these kids what's possible out here and what we can do, and to, you know, we're going to have a big game tonight because we need to show these guys that it's a long season and that things are going to be fine and that this is a good team. If that were possible to simply make up your mind and then allow yourself to do that, why wouldn't you make up your mind to do that every night?
Well, they're only human. I mean, this team is, like I said, they're slipping. You know, not a bad first month, 12-11 their first month. This month, they're maybe a game over 500.
Yep, 8-7 this month.
It's looking a little bit weak. So, I mean, you would think that, yeah, sure, as fans, you would like them to make that realization maybe a week, 2 weeks ago before this all started happening. But maybe just now, and it took that for them to realize that, hey, you know what, we've got some of our kids that are frustrated. We need to regroup, and we need to be the team that we knew we could be and we were told we were going to be while we were in spring training.
So you're thinking that this wasn't just a one-night thing. This is from this point on, they've woken up. Because that's different.
I do think so. I don't think maybe they've woken up, but I think that's the beginning of the, we aren't the team that we were told we were going to be, but we should be. And what are the things we need to do? Well, maybe the veterans, you never know. Maybe they had that close room meeting, or maybe they you know, just kind of looked each other in the eye and said, hey, this is unacceptable. Our kids are blowing up. We can't afford for this to happen, especially right now. When you're 4-10 going into tonight's game in your own division, it's embarrassing, and you need to pull up your socks, and you need to start with your veterans. You need to start with the guys who are at the top, and that's the bottom line.
Interesting. Thank you for the call, CJ. It's an interesting perspective. I don't share it. Because I don't think that this is a flip a switch game. I think they're grinding it out all the time, but it's an interesting perspective. 4-10 within the division is pretty crappy, and that's what the Blue Jays were going into tonight. That said, 15-7 outside the division, also pretty swell. Rob is in Mississauga. You're on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What do you think, Rob?
I think no, Michael. I think that this is a team on a mission that has been rebuilding since Alex took over the reins. I think that you can see how they reevaluated over the offseason, how they kept Kelly Johnson, contrary to Bob Elliott saying, I wouldn't keep him or the other second baseman that they had and go look for somebody else. I see the pitching improving, not dramatically, but improving to the point where they're maturing that much more. Collectively, one of the best teams, one of the best defensive teams in baseball. You put all that together, you're talking about executing plays. You made a blunder yesterday with those errors that cost you the game. You put it behind you, and you move on. And for Lurie, the way he handled himself afterward, I was at the game tonight, and I saw some of the pregame, before the players took the field. You can see them that they were loose. They were ready to play.
Yeah, but they were yesterday, too.
Yeah, no, and they were, and I think it has no effect on them because they are pros. These aren't guys who who get riled up and carry that 24 hours later. I just don't see that. I just don't see it. And I think they have a different approach to the game. And I really enjoy listening to your commentary. I think you do an outstanding job, Michael. I will tune in to listen to you take calls and hear your perspective on not only statistics, not only guys in the minors, but also a larger picture of the game right through from the Blue Jays on to the major league, the other major league teams. You do a fantastic job, and I always enjoy tuning into you.
Oh, that's a great way to end a program. Thank you, Rob. It's very swell of you to say. I appreciate that. I try. What can I tell you? I try, and I appreciate. And I appreciate all the calls we got tonight, and I apologize to those of you to whom we could not get. This was a great night. When you pound the Yankees, that's a thing of beauty. The Blue Jays took them down 8-1. Tomorrow they'll try for the two-game mini sweep. Drew Hutchison against Phil Hughes. For Tom Young, for Joe Sicilia, for Dan Riccio. Good night.